Session 94, October 5, 1964. The Early Sessions, Volume 3, The Seth Material. Good evening. Rob, good evening, Seth. Seth, I would like here to discuss a fact about which we have spoken briefly in the past. That is, that the inner world cannot be examined with the outer senses. That indeed the main purpose of the outer senses is the interpretation of the outer or camouflaged existence. The outer senses, as you know, are themselves camouflaged constructions, specific tools formed for a specific reason to manipulate camouflaged reality. They are not equipped to handle other realities, nor should they be expected to do so. They were adapted to meet a specific situation in which the inner self found it must operate, and it therefore took upon itself the adoption of these specific constructions. Therefore, since dreams are manifestations of inner reality, they cannot be interpreted or investigated with any success through the use of the outer senses. They must be interpreted instead through the use of the inner senses of which I have spoken, for these are the basic tools of the inner self. I realize that it is frowned upon to speak in terms of a limited intellect, which cannot understand a whole reality because of a built-in deficiency. Nevertheless, while it is true that the intellect by itself cannot grasp or comprehend inner reality, this should not be thought of as a deficiency inherent in intellect. A study or investigation of inner reality was not the purpose of the intellect. The intellect, again, was also and is a means by which the inner self relates itself to the camouflaged physical universe which it has itself constructed. Dreams, therefore, cannot adequately be understood or probed into on an intellectual level. The results of another kind of investigation may be given to the intellect, which may then be given to register the facts involved, but only with some difficulty, since the intellect is bound and determined to study facts in the light of so-called cause and effect, which appears so logical to the intellect, since it deals so often with appearances registered by the outer senses, then trying to interpret them into some kind of order. The investigation of dreams, then, must be accomplished in or on a subconscious level. In order to study dreams properly, you must indeed immerse yourself in that medium in which dreams occur. The intense but limited focus of the usual consciousness will itself distort the true nature of dreams, and the ego will hold any such conscious examination of dreams within rigid bonds. Now, the tendency exists to suppose that any true evidence or proof of validity depends upon those effects that can be perceived through the outer senses. This tendency exists simply because you are unfamiliar with other types of validity, whose impact is every bit as real, so real in fact that once such proof has shown itself, even the intellect must be influenced and agree to a vitality which it must admit it cannot understand. Hypnosis is one method of examining dreams. Our method is perhaps the best one. The inner self constantly changes its focus. I have said that consciousness is merely the direction in which inner self focuses at any particular time. In order to examine the reality of dreams, it is necessary to change the focus of the inner self to those directions in which the inner self moves, when the ego does not limit its scope to camouflage reality only. This in itself, this change of focus, is not difficult. What is difficult is the ability or facility to change focus from one area to another, always leaving the door open for a return to the usual necessary daily focus point, in order that effective balance be maintained and manipulation of the physical area remain fairly uninterrupted. I suggest your first break. Break at 9:28. Jane was dissociated as usual. Seth, the tools of investigation will therefore be different. This does not mean that the investigation will not be as valid as those probes carried on with different tools. Now, during the dream drama, the inner self may focus at various or at one of various subconscious areas which it uses as a point of departure. This area whichever one it may be, will be the one in which the main dream sequence originates and in which the dream activity occurs. The dream objects and activities will then be interpreted at other subconscious areas, so that to understand a dream properly, we should first discover at which subconscious area it originates. Individuals can be enabled to find this point of origin for themselves after an attempt is made to recall any given dream or dreams. A familiarity must be gained by an individual with the general nature of his own dreams first, as Rupert now has some knowledge or intuition that enables him to distinguish between dreams that originate in areas having to do with past lives and those which originate in other areas, though he is not yet able to further differentiate. A state of dissociation is necessary, a letting down of egotistical barriers in order that inner symbolisms can be appreciated and distinguished. The change of focus alone will aid in intuitional enlightenment, and association can then rise more easily through the subconscious areas. They will indeed burst through, or appear through, into the egotistical consciousness if given the opportunity. But the egotistical consciousness cannot go after them. The ego will always erect defenses, but intuitional understanding has always been able to pierce such defenses. In the interpretation of your dreams, then, Joseph, as with Rupert's, we must change our focus, for what appears as a logical interpretation through conscious examination is often distorted. The basic and originating dream sequence occurred in that area of the subconscious having to do with past lives, and of course expanded into other areas. The dream was partially triggered, as is often the case between closely related individuals, by Rupert's own dream in which the leaking vessel was featured. Rob notes again, see the 87th session. For Jane's dream, Seth. It, the sequence, referred again to the ocean voyage and gave you additional subconscious knowledge, informing you that the Larry Potter of your acquaintance was a seaman on the same vessel. He loomed above you in the dream because during that voyage he had rank, and you as a stowaway had none. And when you were discovered, it was he, the first mate, who had you pressed into duty and who belittled your efforts until finally he struck you, a fact, incidentally, which you are not willing to face in the dream. Rob notes, true. See page 48. At this moment, there also popped to mind the fact that I have a collection of perhaps 30 books on old sailing ships, the sea, pirates, etc. I had not looked at them recently, indeed, having begun the collection over 10 years ago before I was married, when I became interested in the subject while doing research for some artwork. But ever since I built up the collection, I've insisted on carting it about with us each time we changed location. Seth. Because of the present situation, where the man in your present life is a mere lad, the dream then changed levels. The vessel becomes a masculine symbol. The first symbol was built around Rupert's dreams, which involved a female symbol. That is, the present Rupert interpreted vessel as tub, hence washing machine, the leaking vessel becoming a leaking washing machine. Your dream began with this, but you quickly changed into a masculine interpretation. A ship is thought of as a she. The symbol changed then to a woman, she who carries men within her. Because of the originating area of the dream, you chose the Potter lad's mother, and she was the connecting image from one area to another. Even in your dream, she carried you in a car from one location to another. Even this, however, gave you additional information. The mate died during that journey. He struck you. You were then much younger than he. Two other sailors leaped to your defense, not out of great kindness of heart, mainly because they disliked him. He received a wound, not obviously critical, which developed blood poisoning. You found out later and felt somewhat at fault. In the dream, the lad's present mother is seen to comfort you, this being a way to relieve the past uneasiness that at a certain subconscious area still lingers. At the time, the lad was in his very early 30s, but you were much younger. Rob, do you know what year it was? Seth, no. The year had a wooden maiden in its name, however, and carried cargo from a Southampton to Boston. You then found yourself in the dream wearing pajamas, first though deposited in front of your parents' home, but not entering. This being a symbolic connection, again, a transference not yet into this life, that is not into your parents' home. But just immediately preceding birth, you find yourself in the dream wearing pajamas, entering a theater looking for someone. The pajamas merely represented symbolically your refusal to admit the fact of, first, nakedness, to hold off birth, to gaze about in the theater of existence before permitting yourself to be born again on the physical plane, this deliberation always having been somewhat a portion of your makeup. You were looking for the person who was to become your brother, and indeed you found him, or he found you. People in your dream did not notice your strange attire, incidentally, because in your dream you had not yet elected to be born. A woman with your brother you did not recognize. The three of you communicated before your birth. The woman was your brother Lauren, as he appeared before. You then planned or decided to be born when the meeting was carried out. You also, however, intended to become intimately associated with the man who is now your father. But though you met both, the present Dick and Lauren, neither of you knew what your relationship would be in this life. You intended a brother lifelong relationship with the man who is instead your father. Hence he passed you by, the bicycle being a symbol of youth. That is, because you imagined that he would be a contemporary in age, you saw him on a bicycle, a child's method of transportation. But because he was born earlier, the vehicle carries him past. You stretch, a symbol of the relatively sleepy, unrealized period of youth, early youth, in which you were caught, hence the stiffish arm that was not able, therefore, to keep the man, who is your father, with you in time. He smiles and nods, yet you do not speak, because communication between the two of you was always difficult. His nod, however, was a blessing upon you. It was, of course, the knowledge that he would necessarily die before you that gave rise to his passing by. But the dream did not involve an immediate clairvoyant knowledge of his death. Now we come to a dream that originated on quite a different subconscious area, and that did include a certain clairvoyant knowledge. It gave you inner warning to prepare for last Sunday's very real occurrence, in which you did indeed to some extent sit in judgment. There was necessarily, of course, distortion, and rather tricky distortion at that. Your mother set in the dream before a higher bar, symbolizing your own inner conviction, based on early, rather puritanical basis, that your mother and her actions should be judged, and a child's natural but unfortunate vindictiveness. She who has hurt me, particularly if my mother and a female shall meet justice, you have her in the dream before the bar of justice. The other sons are present. On the childlike area of the subconscious, you believe your mother mainly responsible for family difficulties. However, her defense, which you recognize basically as insincere but superficially correct in which your father and could not permit in this dream at any rate, an identification of this kind, since at this childish level you did not blame him and would have wished as a child to have the power to do the same thing. So even in the dream you misinterpreted and distorted the violence. Instead of having your mother say, "He hit me in the chest," and in order to punish yourself through your identification with your father, instead you translated the words, "He has a spot on his lungs," therefore punishing symbolically both your father and yourself for the violence. However, the dream was basically clairvoyant, in that it foresaw the actual situation of Sunday, in which the mother ended up on trial before her sons, and it did prepare you so that you automatically adjusted yourself, coming through the actual situation rather intact, since you had already faced it on another level. You were aware, incidentally, of your own misinterpretation, and the appearance of your father in both the dreams was opposed by the female vessel symbol, and the opposition between both parents has been an important element in your subconscious life. A spot on the lungs also suggests bleeding or leaking, which returns you to the leaking vessel image again, and also refers to the wound which leaked blood, that was inflicted upon the first mate. You will find such sequences often, and this should be expected. The dream also allowed you to see ahead of time beyond the surface of the situation, which did arrive on Sunday, and you were much easier on your father Sunday, because the dream tipped you off as to the tactics that your mother would use on one level, and also allowed you to punish yourself and your father symbolically rather than actually, for a violent tendency which is now apparent in him toward her, but is not as readily apparent, but repressed in yourself. Had the dream not so prepared you, you may well have struck out verbally at your father most forcibly, in an actual attempt to make him suffer for his own rather restrained violence, because you would have feared and not been able to face its somewhat weaker, but still definite latent manifestation in yourself. Because I have kept you without your break, I will now close the session. I did not want to break the context or the continuity here, and it was much better that Rupert began in a constant state of deep association for the most faithful interpretation of the dreams. You will see from our previous discussion that such a state is by far the most beneficial if a faithful interpretation is to be received. I will continue the session for a few closing remarks after break if you prefer. Rob, okay, break at 10:50. Seth, the dream of the drawings occurred on another level, and we will discuss in detail these various subconscious areas, though I speak of them as separated only for convenience. The dream represented a correlation of past, present, and future, a knowledge that Rupert was indeed an artist in a distant life, that he has strong abilities in that direction now, and it represents your inner realization of the type of painting he can ultimately produce in this life if he utilizes the ability. Your surprise in the dream represents your feeling that he is not using the ability. Therefore, the quality of the paintings in the dream amazed you. My fond best wishes, Rob. Good night, Seth. End at 10:55. Jane was dissociated as usual. She said that while she was delivering the above material on one level, she also received the thought from Seth on another level that she would sleep for 3/4 hour after supper on session nights. She has reported this dual reception on few occasions before, and as before, she said, she was able to give voice to but one level at a time. Seth, the man you know as Lauren has never been born as a woman yet on the physical plane. The overall entity, however, is a feminine one. This is why you saw him as a woman and why you did not recognize him. The next life will be forcibly one of a woman, or rather, the personality will manifest itself forcibly as a woman on most flamboyant terms, because it has thus far not used its abilities nor expressed the strong intuitive portion of its nature. Because the entity has not expressed but withheld the basic femininity of its nature, it has fed back upon itself, so that the overall identity of the entity appears as feminine simply because there is a backlog of those characteristics thought of as feminine. An entity is composed of what you may call feminine and masculine characteristics. But when all energy is focused into masculine-oriented personalities, then a backlog develops, so that the entity is left with only unused, unmanifested, so far denied feminine characteristics. The same sort of situation develops if the male type of characteristic is repeatedly denied fulfillment or manifestation. I wanted to clear this up immediately, as the same sort of misunderstanding has occurred concerning Lauren in the past. And now, good night, Seth. Rob, good night, Seth. End at 11:06.